Good morning, Rock Bible Church.
Good morning,
Scott. I know that we're a congregation that likes each other. We're trusting the Lord for fellowship because every time I get up here, half of you are still standing and talking to each other. I love that. Hey, Mother's Day, congratulations. You made it to the trifecta of church, Christmas, Easter, and Mother's Day, right? We're trying to make it a four-pillar house with Father's Day. I don't know. Something happens on Father's Day. That's maybe this year. Hey, moms, thank you for your service. I feel like I get confused with Veterans Day. Like, I need to say thank you for your service, right? Because you are the backbone. And you, as moms, you know this. Like, sometimes even when it's your time, you still got to cater to the weaker around you. You know, it's your day, it's your birthday, it's Mother's Day, whatever. You still got, some guys are going to have a rough day today because we're going to talk about how great you are and they're not going to compare today. Okay. So you might have to pat them on the back or something. But we love you and we need you. And let's be committed today. We're going to, rather than say thank you for your service, we're going to say love you, Mom. And then for those of us who...
Love you, Mom.
Doug likes to practice. And then for those of us who... Well, let's just say Mom's no longer receiving communication. We can absolutely tell the Lord, thank you for who Mom was. And still is up at that banqueting table, relaxing.
Amen.
It's good to be here. I'm very excited. I saw my first grandchild this weekend again. I have a new addiction. For those of you who don't know, we just had our first granddaughter at the very end of March, and I've seen her twice. The first time I was told I was not allowed to kiss her, so I waited till Mom and Dad weren't looking, and I licked her on the face. So, no, I did. So there was a lot more kissing this weekend. And very appropriate for me to go through this grandfather thing and the whole idea of parenting as we walk into motherhood. Just the idea of parenting. What is parenting? And very motivational for what we're going to talk about today. And we are not doing a Mother's Day sermon per se. We're starting a new series called Trust in the Lord. It's based on the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Now, we will be looking at more than verses 5 and 6 as we go over the next 6 weeks or so. We're going to look at individual phrases, and I'm going to take you other places in Scripture to accentuate it and whatnot. For some of you, you might be freaking out, like, wait, we're not going to go through a passage, a verse at a time? That's what we always do. Yes, that's called exegetical preaching. That is the norm here. We're gonna dabble in some topical messages over, but we're gonna do it in passages. So I'm gonna cheat on even my topical and do exegetical as we go. But I would encourage you, chapter 3 of read the whole thing each week over the next 6 weeks. Find a time during the week to read through the whole chapter. Maybe even do it each day to familiarize yourself with it, and then we'll have fun going to other places as well. Speaking of other places, tomorrow night, men's ministry, 7 o'clock, we're meeting in the back patio behind the fellowship hall on the concrete slab out there, fire circle style. Did it last week, had a great old time. Okay, so if you're up for that on Monday nights, or maybe if you're a morning person, 7 a.m. right in here, we circle up some chairs with a group of guys. So if either of those work for you, that's great. And then we have a new women's study starting on Tuesday night with Carrie LaFountain at her house. If you want information about that, come see me, or you might be able to find her. I saw her somewhere. She's here. There she is. Okay. And I think, do we have a slide for that? Did we talk about it earlier already? Okay, I'm just so excited about this study, I'm not going to. Okay, women's. All right, there you go. Hey, let's pray, and then we'll jump into our new series. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word, your house, for yourself, that you're accessible, that you've gone to great lengths to get our attention and have relationship with us. And we thank you, Lord, in the ways that you have done that with moms. And we thank you for our moms and who they have been and will continue to be. And we thank you just for the whole concept of motherhood, your idea, and you perfected it. Probably the best institution on the planet. And so, Lord, as we worship you and read through your word, pray that you would be honored and glorified in this time, guided by your spirit, to the honor and glory of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 is kind of a pretty popular devotional verse. In fact, probably many of you, if I started saying it, trust in the Lord, you would reap with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will straighten your path or make your path straight. I don't know. There's so many different translations out there, right? I mean, oh, that we could all read Greek. Then we'd be fine. No, we'd be miserable. It's a great two verses. And I want us over the next 6 weeks or so to look at individual phrases in them, because to go through a passage is great and you get a bird's eye view, comprehensive understanding. There are other times where we want to look at the intensity, the detail, the deep truth within every single word. And sometimes more than one thing is packed in a verse. Amen? That's what we're going to do today. Today I want us to focus on trust. It says trust in the Lord. It's the first phrase of verse 5. And we'll get to the Lord next week. But I want us to deal with the idea of trust first. Before we get to the Lord, I want us to talk about us and how he's designed us. It could have been written, you know, the Lord is he in whom you must trust. And then the Lord would have been first. But he started with trust, and so that's where we're going to start. To get there, I want to do the lead up, because there's four verses that happen in Proverbs 3 before we get to 5 and 6. So this morning, I want us to go through those, all six. We're going to read through those, and then we'll get into our fill-ins. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. So we know we've got instruction here, right? I mean, have you ever been to a training and you thought to yourself, why am I here? Do we even need to know this? I used to ask this in calculus class in high school. I mean, Mr. Cook, come on. I mean, this is so advanced. Like, one, how did I even get in this class? And then two, am I ever going to use this? And one of the greatest things a teacher ever said to me, oh, Scott, please never think that this is about math. I'm trying to help you learn to think. I love that. I don't know why, but it worked. All of a sudden, I'm interested in the math because I'm going to get more than just math out of it. You have to approach the Lord that way. When he gives commands, when he gives instructions, when he gives you a leading or a correction, you have to look for there's more there. There's deeper things going on. And for those who have believed that and leaned into it and trusted that there's more, they found it, right? They found it. It's kind of like what my parents used to say, careful, if you go looking for trouble, you'll find it, right? It's even more true with the Lord. So we're going to get some instruction here, and we're going to trust that there's more to it. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. What just happened in everyday language? Something just happened. What would you say? What were you just given? I mean, yes, you were given a command. Way better than command, right? My mom, she used to buy these little devotional things for kids. And she would say, "Scotty, if you will read through this devotional Bible thing and fill in some of the blanks or whatever, I'll give you $1. Guess what happened? I made a few bucks, right? She got me started in business. What was I interested in? The
reward.
Say that again, Grandma.
The promise.
The promise. What just happened here, folks? We were given a promise. Listen to God. Listen to His truth. Dare I say, trust in it. Why? Benefits. Blessing. Good. Payoff. Right? Anybody like to get a payoff for their investment? You go spend a bunch of time at a place and then nothing happens. And you're like, well, I can't get my time back. Right? There's movies like that. I lost 20 bucks in 2 hours and I can't get either back. If you believe your relationship with the Lord will pay off. Well, Scott, it's not a business transaction. It's an analogy, okay? If you believe that it works, if you believe that there's a blessing, that His intention is to be gracious and good to you, it's going to go really, really well. I was talking to somebody recently. They were very worried. I doubt that I'm good enough. I doubt that God would want to bless me. I don't feel worthy of even the things that I do have right now. What do you say to that person? You get to be pastor for a moment. Don't worry, it's short-lived. You get to go back to your normal role in a second. What do you say to them? You got to get back to the blessing side, right? He loves you. He created you. You wouldn't have that stuff if He didn't want you to have it. And if you have it, it's because He wanted you to have it. So what does that say about your value?
Very valuable.
Very. Extreme. Some would say unique. You're a snowflake. The only one of your kind. Okay, I know there's a lot of political stuff about snowflakes, but ignore that. Because the peculiar one-of-a-kind design that you have means He did you on purpose. He wants to give you gifts. He likes you. I love what Ed Noble, pastor at Journey Community Church in La Mesa, California, likes to say. He says, you know, people want to hear all the time, God loves you. I like to say God likes you, because people hear love, God loves you. Yeah, I hear that all the time. When you say God likes you, wait a minute. I know He loves me. I'm not sure He likes me. He knows what I've done, what I've thought about doing, my doubts, my guilt, my fear, my inadequacies. Yeah. He says, better than likes you anyways, likes you on purpose, because He made you with those holes, with those missing things. And I would argue gave you some of those negative experiences to baptize you by fire, make you stronger, right? I mean, Doug's really strong. Let that sink in there for a second. All right, verse 3. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. The instruction has begun. What are we supposed to be? Let's simplify those. Two words. One of them's 4 letters. The other one's 5 letters. Love and faith, right? We're to have love and faith. Right? Love is care for others. Faith, how could you say faith if you wanted to pick a different 5-letter word?
Trust.
Trust. All right? See, there's something about caring about other people and then developing your trust. Managing your trust. We're going to get to that at the very end. You've got to manage your trust. I didn't realize it. Wait, Scott, are you talking about revocable living trust? Because I pay a financial person to manage that for you. No. No, within your soul. Who do you trust? When do you trust? Why do you trust? We're going to talk about that at the end. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Could those things forsake you? Could you be loving and be forsaken by it? Is this poetry?
Say yes. Say yes.
Is this poetry?
Say yes.
Okay. So there's an analogy here, right? What's really being said? If love and faith, love and trust forsook you, I think the analogy goes this way. It's over there and you're over here. Now, who's really forsaken? Didn't the forsaking. Yeah, you decided to be angry, grumpy, busy, working, sad, whatever. I'm going to be strong, independent. I'm going to be a master of my own destiny, whatever. Okay, well, when are you loving? When are you trusting? We get busy. We chase after the wind, Solomon say in the book of Ecclesiastes, and it gets us nowhere. Why would he remind us to trust and love? If you needed, like if I got a, remember that show, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? If I had a fifth grader in here and said, hey, why would you need to be reminded of something? Moms, did you ever remind your kid of anything ever? Right? It's like top five jobs of a mom. Why? Why would you need to remind a kid of something? They forget, or they don't want to, or they're stuck because they need to learn how to. Faith and love are learned behaviors. Most people, if you ask him, you come up to Fred, right? I know you've all met Fred. Fred doesn't exist. I use Fred regularly because we don't have any Freds, okay? Hey, Fred, are you a loving person? What does Fred say?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Fred, you have faith?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Right? A lot of us from the outside, we look at Fred and we're like, oof. I hope the Lord gets a hold of him at some point. Many of us think that love and faith are innate, that they're natural within us. And in some ways that's true, but when we misuse love and trust, love and faith, we use them in a different way. They cease to be love and faith. They cease to be other things, lust, desire. When you misuse trust or faith, what does it become? Drive, determination, pride, ego, right? Which still trust, it's just trust in, yeah, right? And trust in self negates love because love is directed at someone else, right? Very interesting. So let's train ourselves in this love and faith thing because we don't want to forsake it, even though wasn't David very nice in making it sound like love and trust was going to do the leaving? He's trying to protect all of our sensitive one nerve, right? That one feeling we have. He wanted to make sure he didn't violate it. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Huh. Bind them on your neck. Anybody got anything on their neck right now? Maybe necklaces. Y'all, almost all of you got some kind of collar or at least a shirt. Right? Where's that go with you? That thing on your neck? Goes everywhere. Right? Can we, what was the second phrase? Yeah. Write it on the tablet of your heart. Not just any tablet? Where's your heart go with you? If you have something written on it, it'll always be there. Right? How often are we supposed to work and train ourselves at love and faith? Always. Daily. Every moment. Right? Verse 4, here we go. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Hold on a second, folks. I got to talk to my good friend Barbara. Barbara, what just happened right there? What's that called? That's a promise. We just get another promise? You know, I have a problem with how I was raised in the church in a lot of ways, okay? A lot of you know this because that personality profile is the personality profile that starts a church, right? Because, like, I want to do certain things that I want other people to miss out on. I was told that God's love is unconditional. And I was trained that way for decades. And here's the thing. It's true and misleading. God love everyone.
Yes.
Does God offer grace to everyone?
Yes.
Yes. Is there any sin he cannot wipe out?
No.
No. Okay, good. If you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross, his conquering of death and his ascension to the right hand of the Father, you trust in him. Are you in?
Yes.
Okay. No conditions to that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And yet, what's with the equations? See, here's the problem with Mr. Cook. He taught me how to think. I read the Bible all the time, and I find conditional statements. If you do this, then you will do that. See, what I did is I combined my math class with my English class. I was like, wow, education actually paid off, right? What's a conditional statement? What you trust in will have an effect. We talked about effects in the last series, didn't we? Knowing effects. 2 Samuel. It was just a couple months ago. There are effects to whatever you spend your time on, right? And I love this, that God makes us promises. And some of them, half of them are dark. No, dark, dark. Rough. I mean, if you turn away from the Lord, Scott, are you going to start doing Bummer Sunday? No, but God's clear. Those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, right? But then you got a whole book that talks about the difference between the wise and the fool. What happens to fool? He'll prosper for a little while. The sun and the rain fall on the righteous and the evil. But eventually, is there an equation? Is there a conditional effect to their choices? You know what? Dang it, Mom was right. My mom told me growing up all the time, you know, Scotty, there's consequences to your decisions. She was very sneaky about how she would do it sometimes, right? Which moms, I love how you can like kind of come in around the backside and like, we didn't even see it coming, right? Hey, Scotty, what do you think's going to happen when you do that? Right? Now, isn't she saying there's a consequence to the decision you're about to make, right? But she said it, well, let's say more softly, right? Here's the one I really hated so much. I use it on my kids all the time. Sounds like you have a choice to make. I love that. Why? Because I want to represent, honor the conditional side of God's promises. If you make bad choices, you will have bad effects. If you make godly choices, you will experience God and his blessing. I love that. If those first four are true, We're going to get to experience that with God and man, spiritually and physically on this earth, in all your environments, because you have it on your neck and in your heart everywhere you go. And then he says, those four verses being true, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, because that's what I like to do. I like to come up with a plan, a scheme. Think church will be better if we have a center aisle. For some of you who are new to our little game that we're doing here, we used to have a center section, and then there was one aisle like right about here, and one aisle right about here, and then there was a kind of thin section here, and a thin section there, and a big section in the middle. Which one's better? The two rows or the one row? Both. Nobody cares. The whole thing is, don't lean on your own understanding. Like, if it works, it works. If God's doing it, he's doing it. If he's not, it'll change it, and whatever. In all your ways. How many? In all your ways. Acknowledge him. Man, I wish there was a better word for acknowledge. And he will make straight your path. This is the ESV version. I'm probably going to insert the New American Standard version, because that's the one I learned this verse on all growing up. It's just, I beat up that Bible so much that the binding doesn't even, I'll bring it out and show it to you. It's a mess. If I use it anymore, I think it's going to fall apart completely. In that version, it says, and he will make your path straight. Love that. And I think I like path first and straight second, because the path is my experience. He can straighten it out as we go. We can put that last. But in all your ways, acknowledge. I said, I would like a better word than acknowledge. Why would I say that? Why would I say I want a better word than acknowledge? I feel like I'm in vocabulary class. Acknowledge is word number six, and I have to define it. And I want a more fun word. I want a word with more weight. Maybe an easier meaning to define or experience. Because acknowledge, I mean, I remember in high school, you'd be walking down the aisle and be like, so, right? Did I just acknowledge him? Yeah, I acknowledged him. But do we have any kind of relationship when I walk away or something? Yeah. No. There's got to be more than acknowledge. And actually, I believe it means more than an acknowledge.
To know. Love.
No. Know's a great one. This is the interactive portion of the morning. We're just going to shout out some words. What do you think are better words than just, or how would you define acknowledge to?
Vibe?
Did you say vibe? Vibe with him? Oh, I love that.
Submit.
Okay. All right, we got authoritarian over here. Good, all right. What else?
See,
recognize. Love that. Both of those go together. Thinking of several words, and we're yet to say any of them. We're going to keep going. Obey. I love that word.
Commit.
Pursue. Love.
Accept.
I would like to submit to the court your
honor.
Say it again.
Honor.
Honor. That's the word I want to look at and see there. In all your ways, honor him. We have another way we say it at church. It's a much longer word. It's got this ing we like to put at the end of words. Ing, like running, talking. Starts with the G. Glorifying, right? I want to glorify him. It feels like honor and glory have become these throwaway words that we read regularly in Scripture, and they've kind of lost their meaning. And just like Ed Noble likes to say, I'd rather say God likes you than loves you, because it sticks a little more. We got to get back to where honor and glory retain their meaning.
But don't you have to first
reclaiming.
Before you can do the others?
It's a, yes, you do. It's a,
I'm sorry.
It's an equation. It's a conditional process, right? May the Lord bless the reading of his word, amen?
Amen.
At the end, you find that you get a path. Apparently, we have a path, and it can be a good path, right? Let's look at least four things in just these that we can see. Trust in the Lord, right? Why? Why trust? Why trust? And I decided, sometimes I give you the first letter of the fill-in word so we can have fun. Sometimes I don't give it to you because you're not going to get it because I picked some random word and it's going to be too hard. This week's very easy. If you're keeping score at home, we want to find out who wins today, okay? And one of the people that wins regularly isn't here today, so you've got a shot. You got a shot, right? Why would you say, Barbara, twice that he did in the passage to us? Promise to us a bunch of times in those six verses. What were the promises? Why would you trust? Because there's promises. One is to
live.
Thank you, Sarah. One is to live in the, you're going to, length of days and length of years, and starts with P. Peace. Why trust? Because it's how you get to peace. It's how you live in peace. To live long in the peace of his. What do you think it is? Favor. Several of you said it. And didn't he say that if you do all this stuff, you're going to have all this stuff before God and before man? When you have good standing before man, it's you're saying you have a good you have a good relationship because they think you have a good reputation. See, I want to go beyond just the people I have a relationship. I want to have a reputation even with the yet to knows or the barely knows or the people that I just barely acknowledge when I walk by them. Right? Trust me, this one matters. Understand it from someone who's in an industry where I'm watched all the time. Your reputation matters. What people see you do or you post or you say or you accidentally let out when you thought the call was over. Done that one before? When you text to the wrong person? Guilty. How do you avoid all that? You trust in the Lord so that you can have a long life in peace. Why? Because you've given up the shady stuff. And you're training yourself in love and faith. I love this promise. I want long days. I just met one of the reasons why. Man, she's cute. There's a lot of people that have never got to see her. And I want many days with her. And I'm trying to work, I'm spinning on this other thing I'm working on. How is it that spending more days and more years with the Lord could be better than spending more days and years than with my granddaughter Roxanne? I'm having difficulty right now seeing that. Lord, go do your thing. I just want to be with the baby. Right? By the way, that's a common problem in most all of our pursuits. We think that the pursuit of that thing, trusting in that thing, is going to be a better payoff than trusting in the Lord. And so the question is, where do you place your trust? We place it in the promises that there's a payout, that it works. Okay. Number two, how? Why? We covered that. There's promises, great promises. How? How would you do that? What was the bound thing? Were we supposed to bound something? Or bind, I think it said. Were we supposed to bind that? His neck bound, and now you've got hints for the next one, right? And heart written. What does he want? What's the greater concept of what he wants around our neck and in our heart? That was commandments and leading and teaching and da, da, da. What are we? You whittle all that down to basic. Thank you, sir. On the aisle, say it nice and loud.
Truth.
His neck bound and heart written. Truth. And kindness. Remember, we're trying to do love. Knowledge. Truth and knowledge. It's the same thing, right? So that you should have known not to say knowledge because it was the same as truth, right? If we're playing a game here, come on, let's be strategic, okay? All right. But if you're doing, for those of you listening online, Chris Stackhouse just said I was unkind.
He did.
That's okay. We were talking about the truth side yet. We're about to get to the kind part. It's okay. He'll get there eventually. When we drew truth and knowledge, we're doing information. What were we left out? When we're doing information, what are you left out? You call because you have a problem and they start giving you the company line. What have they left out? They care about the company line, the policy, the bottom line on their profit and loss of what's going on. And so they're telling you no. Who have they forgotten? When you do truth and knowledge, you leave out people. And God says, no, we're doing love and trust. Love is kindness. Yeah? Okay, this fill-in ends now, but we got two extras because I wanted you to recognize what's going on here when David writes this. Bind it on your neck. I've been thinking about getting a cross and a necklace. I know for guys it's called a chain. I don't mince words like that, okay? Keep your questions to yourself. But I just thought there's so many people wear crosses, and I was somewhere in this, we were at a church kind of thing, and it was a different denomination where they wear more stately stuff and robes and all that kind of stuff, and the guy had a cross on. I was like, I know we're Protestant, semi-Southern Baptist, whatever, but I could wear a cross, right? Why would I like that? Because everywhere I go, bam, it's right there, right? People would know. I would have an outward sign, right? And I figured this out too. If I got a cross, I really didn't want to have it surgically attached to my heart. One, I don't want to do surgery. Two, who sees it when it's in my heart?
God.
Just God, right? They put a little cross. If you put a physical cross on your heart somehow, I don't even know if that's possible, right? Your pastor's a little goofy. And you sew that up and it's gone. No one sees it. If I did that, it'd be my own personal inward dedication and commitment, trust, I might say, in the Lord. David is pointing attention to the outward and the inward. Do it within you, but also do it in ways that others can see. Now, have I just said that everybody needs to go get a cross and wear it around their neck?
No.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we got very few rules at this church, okay? And that will never be one of them. Okay, we've got more important rules, like never run out of food at an event, okay? let's get these things right. And always use scripture whenever you're teaching. Amen? The rest of it can flesh itself out. So, do we have those other two fill-in, sir, guys? Outward, inward? Bingo. Love that. Does that encompass all?
Yes.
All right, good. We're true to the passage. And number three, when, question mark, when? Skip the fill-ins and just answer the question. When should you do these first two sets of fill-ins? This promise stuff. And when? Always. So why would you ask when? You wouldn't. When is a question's right. It's a trick question. When? What do you mean when? This when you ask of, I don't understand. All the time. Here's the thing. You are a trust animal. You trust all the time. I doubt any of you tested your chair to see if it would hold you up when you sat in it. You just sat in it. Some of you go to restaurants, people bring you food from some back dark room. You have no idea where they got it or how they prepped it. And they set it in front of you and you just take a scoop and that's trust, folks. Every second that you breathe, you're trusting that air is going to sustain you. We're trusting in other ways. If I go buy a fat rock and an expensive metal ring and hand it to her and say, will you? That takes a little trust, doesn't it? I mean, let's be honest. Where do moms come from? Hopefully, usually from proposals. Why do moms decide to have kids? Because it's super easy. Painless, zero regrets, and the kids all end up brilliant and never make mistakes. I'll never get a phone call from the school. Is that why moms have kids? No, moms have kids because they have faith and trust. When is a trick question? And I will say this because of the day that it is. If you ask me, hey, Scott, when have you trusted your mom? What would I say?
Always.
I would say, I don't understand the question. That's a trick question. Are you sure you're not asking about dad? I think all of growing up, there was only one person that I ever trusted 100%. Because dad was a bait and switch guy once in a while, right? He'd pull a fast one on you kind of thing. Usually fun. One of the things we love about mom, if mom says or does, you can take it to the bank. She's better than the bank. She's better than a teacher or a coach. Any government, any set of knowledge. In fact, I love when my mom failed to have the answer and somehow made it better anyways. Why don't you do that? Because she is the greatest example of God's trust on the planet. I will say this to my dying day. Men, they get God a lot of the time. Moms, it's the closest thing we have to God on the planet. And I believe he put you, ladies, here because we need help. Amen? It's not good that man should be alone. We will give him a helper. That means we need help. And I want to show mankind attributes of who God is through his creation. Do we see beauty in creation? Do we see complexity? Do we see simplicity? Yeah, we see love and trust and care, intelligence, capacity in women in general, but in our moms. I've never met a mom that I didn't like. I mean, I like all the moms I've ever met, but who's the bestest one? I know why your mom is the bestest one for you. By the way, I'm giving permission today from now on to be able to say bestest, okay? Because she's the only one that had full trust in you, full faith in you, full dedication to you. Came behind you and cleaned it up. Went ahead of you and set you up. Or walked beside you as you went through it. Love that. Mother's Day. View of God Day. That should be the subtitle under Mother's Day. Because we see God through our moms. When? Always. Amen? Last one. If you're always doing trust, where are you placing your trust? We're going to talk next week how it says trust in the Lord. We're going to cover that. It's going to be awesome. But you have to be told to do that. Because too many of us are checking the posts, the reviews, how many stars, what did Fred say about it? How do I feel about it? What do I think about it? How did it go last time? I mean, the biggest one is, what do I want? Man, that drives too much. And I will chase anybody who tells me what I want to hear. Right? I need some work done. Actually, even better. I want something. And I got to go to my parents. Which parent do I go and talk to? Now, my kids have figured this out. All three of them, they're geniuses, brilliant at this. Do they always come to me?
No.
Do they always go to her?
No.
How do they decide? It's conditional, situational, it's relative. I'm going to go to the one that gives me the... Starts with A, ends with swear. The and swear that I want. I'm going to go to mom. If mom's going to say, mom, I've asked her before about these kind of things. Mom's pretty good about this. Right? Now, if I ask her for $20, nope, not going to happen. Go to dad for $20. Right? Hey, mom, can I have a hug? Hug every time. Dad, can I have a hug? Just a minute. Right? I listen to the voice that gets me what I want. My question, and I think the question of the passage, the whole of chapter 3, is what voice do you listen to? Or even better, put an S on the end of voice. Because there's a lot of voice says we listen to, right? What was that one, when E.F. Hutton speaks? Everybody listens, you know. That I don't know if it was him or who it was, but who has your ear? Is whoever has your ear? You know, if you're getting bad advice, but you're listening, you're in trouble. If you're getting bad advice and you're going, it's bad advice, you're okay. Hearing is okay. Listening is dangerous. Now, why did I leave the S off of voice for the fill-in? Voice says is, if we're in English class, we're back in English class. Voice says is what construct? It's a plural. That means there's more than one. By the way, most of us have more than one voice we listen to, right? Voice is singular. Why did I put it singular? There's one voice we should listen to. And that is learned behavior. I need to trust his voice in how my kids are going to turn out. I need to trust his voice for how my finances go. I need to trust his voice for a bunch of my relationships, for the church. Most important, what do I need to trust the Lord for? I am my own biggest problem. The biggest thing I need to work on is in the mirror. It's right here. And I need to listen to his voice so that I can reconstruct, redirect, get on that path, access the promises, and live long in the peace of his truth and kindness. Amen? I love this passage. I've been having so much fun getting ready for this. I trust that you'll invite other people to come and hear it. And I hope today you recognize all of that stuff true about mom. And God says, remember it. Do it. Practice it. Train yourself in it. If you've never said, I'm in. If you've never said, okay, Lord, that's it. I'm tired of playing games. I'm going to trust in you from this day forward. I'm going to accept who you are, what you did for salvation. I'm going to believe that there's a Holy Spirit that can be everywhere at one time. Makes no sense to me because it's not science. But I'm going to trust that there's things, mysteries beyond what I can know or fathom, and that you are the only true thing. I accept you as Savior and Lord. Man, make that decision. The only thing better than mom is God. Amen? Amen? Trust in him today. If you want help with that, I'll be here after. I would love to talk to you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for what we get to see in your word, and namely what we get to see in you. Thank you that we see it in our moms. I thank you that we see it in your word. Pray, Lord, that that would then help us to see it in our own lives. We pray for those that are making that decision for the first time. Give them the confidence and faith to speak up and show us how to help them as best we can. We thank you for the offering that we're about to receive, Lord. Pray that you would bless it for your use. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Psalm chapter 37, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Live in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Amen? Amen. We're going to leave this up. If you didn't get a chance to do communion and you want a little more time, you want to come up after, it'll be here for a while. All right? Go with him.